ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Welcome to Fuelcast. I'm Carrington Clark, and this is your source to stay on top of the numbers behind the ongoing global energy crisis. It's Monday, June the 1st. We're recording mid-morning. Let's have a look at the figures. The price of Brent crude has fallen to $93 a barrel since we last checked in. The national average price of unleaded has dropped to $1.80 per litre. And the national average price of diesel has dropped as well to $2.30 per litre. Today, I'm joined by Alan Kohler to dig into the major energy headlines. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Carrington.
Alan, it's been a couple of weeks since I last had the pleasure of talking to you, and it appears when we look at those key numbers that we've actually seen an improvement in that time, but there are fears that global oil supplies are approaching so-called minimum operational limits. That is the amount of oil needed to keep pipelines and storage facilities stocked and safely running. Veteran market strategist Jeff Curry, who's the co-chairman of ABEX Market, says it's likely that minimum operating levels will first affect Asia, then hit Europe, and then the United States. Alan, what do you make of this warning, and how close are we for this being a major problem?
It's a bit hard to tell because, you know, there's lots of different ways of cutting it, but it depends on how much fuel do you think has to be left in the tanks, whether it's 10% or 20%. It's a bit hard to tell. But look, we're clearly going to get close to it at some point fairly soon. And each country is different too. I mean, China's got a lot more storage than everyone else. America's probably in a reasonable position because it's producing a fair bit of its own oil. So look, there's no precise amount of days or anything, but we're getting close.
It appeared early on in this energy crisis, Alan, that it was Southeast Asia and South Asia in particular that were the quickest to move when it came to protecting the storage that they already had in place and to try to limit how much they were utilizing. Is it fair to say that those are the areas that are most at risk of hitting these particular problem patches?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, that's true. And they're kind of starting to clamp down, I guess, at this point. And that's causing prices to rise and will stay high. So, I think the storage is running down everywhere, really. But as you say, in Southeast Asia in particular.
Looking at some of the numbers that Casey Briggs, our colleague, has been tracking, you know, based on the government's own numbers, we actually have improved our own position here in Australia when it comes to storage of diesel, petrol and jet fuel throughout this crisis, in part because we've gone and paid, it appears, a lot of money to make sure that we could get our hands on more. Are we relatively well insulated going forward, do you think, at least compared to other countries?
Well, the government officially reported that Australia holds 48 days of petrol, 36 days of diesel and 30 days of jet fuel. And as you say, they've put $10 billion aside in the budget for fuel storage, of which $6.2 billion, I think, is earmarked for private storage, loans and so on to help companies, and $3.8 billion for government storage, which doesn't exist at this point. I mean, if I look on, I looked on the IEA website and it says that Australia's storage is 49 days, so that's a bit more than the government is reporting. But that's kind of well below the average. The average of other countries is around about 100 days. So we're kind of half, according to the IEA website, we're half the average. And I think part of that's because, I think it's probably entirely because we import 90% of our oil, or in fuel. And so what they talk about is days of net imports, right? And Australia's net imports are so high that we can't, you know, the government's just never been able to afford, and the industry's never been able to afford that much storage. So we just haven't got as much as other countries.
On that topic of oil storage, listener Sergey, who joins us from Canberra, asks, can very large volumes of fuel be stored in Australia without the fuel going off, i.e. without the fuel octane degrading? Alan, how difficult is it to store fuel in the form of petrol in particular, also diesel, for extended periods?
Well, it does go off. I didn't know this until I researched it following that listener's question. And petrol has the shortest shelf life, lasts 3 to 6 months under ideal conditions. Mm. And if it contains ethanol, which most retail fuel does to some extent, that shrinks dramatically to just 30 to 90 days before going off. Diesel lasts 6 to 12 months, can go to 2 years to 3 years if you get the proper additives into it. And jet fuel lasts up to 3 years with no significant changes. That's got the longest shelf life. So there you go. It does go off.
It does go off. But the way of kind of dealing with that process of it going foul is that you kind of cycle through, don't you? If you build more storage, particularly when it comes to petrol, you basically have your, you know, different tanks that are of different levels of age, and then you kind of use the oldest first, I guess, as you work through it. So there is a way of at least trying to extend it, to extend how much storage we have by cycling through those stores.
Yes, that's right. That was just how you, I'm sure, cycle through your milk on the fridge, right? No, just kidding.
And it's a very good analogy, I think. No one wants to drink off milk, and no one wants to put off fuel in their car.
I wonder if the fuel tanks have got use-by dates on them.
You'd hope someone's keeping track of it all. But yeah, it's a good question,
yeah,
and
right.
It's a very relevant question from Sergey, because the government is looking to increase our store of these critical components for our economy. And if you need to, A, make sure that you've got the right storage, you've got enough of the storage, and that you're keeping track of how old the fuel is so you don't damage anyone's car.
That's right. And you can tell with the diesels off especially because it goes dark. It darkens when it's fresh, it's clear.
Fascinating.
So that's interesting.
We're all becoming experts on fuel as fuel cars continues. Alan, thank you so much for joining me. You can catch ABC Business Daily later today, and we'll be back in your feeds with all things fuel on Wednesday. Catch you next time, Alan.
Thanks, Carrington.